Okay, our lesson today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Tes. We are holding here on the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Still talking about different items, the shear of different items that you'll be chayev for Otzoa for on Shabbos. The daf then digresses to a bunch of different topics, but let's get to it. We're at the two dots here. Tana Rabbanan. Hamotzi shtar chov ad shelo pro chayev. If a person takes out a shtar chov is an IOU, some sort of contract or debt. So Ashlo Pro, if it's unpaid, so then Chayef, then you are Chayef for taking it out. Misha Pro, Potter. But if it's paid already, then you are Potter. And again, the idea is here that the item that you take out needs to be significant. If the shtar, the contract, is usable in any way, so then you're going to be Chayef for taking it out. If it's unusable, if it's uncollectible, so then it's just a worthless piece of paper, and you're not going to be chayiv. It's not a davar chashiv. So that's what Tanakama says. And we're going to see there are going to be four explanations of what exactly the machlokas is here. But Tanakama, at first glance, says, if the shtar has not been paid, we'll see exactly who's taking out the shtar. But if the shtar has not been paid, then that's already a valuable document, and you're chayiv. And if it has been paid already, then your potter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Misha Pro Chayev. Even if it's already been paid, then you're still Chayev. Mipneishet Tzarichlo, because the person needs it. So Gemara says, Ma'ay Binayu, what is this machlokas? So as I said, four possibilities. Amar Rav Yosef, answer number one, Aser Lishos Shtar Perua Iki Binayu. The machlokas is whether you're allowed to keep a shtar perua, whether you're allowed to keep a shtar in your house that has been paid back. Right, Rashi quotes a pasuk in Iyov, Al Tishkon Ba'alecha Avla, I think it is. Don't put in your house something that may cause you to have a Yitzhara. If a person has a contract that's already been paid, but you have the shtar, so that kind of proves that it hasn't been paid. So technically you could go and kind of extort this guy and get more money from him. So the question is whether you're allowed to keep such a star in your house. Rabbanan, Tanakama hold Aser Lisha Star Perua, that it's Aser for you to keep a Star Perua in your house. And therefore, if it's been paid back, you're potter for taking it out, because it's worthless piece of paper. From you, the Sover, Mother Lisha Star Perua. From you, the hold, it is Mother for you to keep a Star Perua in your house. And therefore you're Bechayev for taking it out on Shabbos. Right. Okay. Rashi says, just to clarify, why would you need that shtar if it's already been paid, right? Because the tzarich lichros al pitzlochis, you could use it as a bottle cap, so therefore it's still valuable, and Rabbi Yehuda will say that you are a chayiv. Okay. Second answer, by Yomar. Abai says, "Dukuliyama aser lishos shtar perua." No, everybody in the Brisa holds that it is aser to keep such a shtar in your house. V'ha'chav, what's the machlokas? B'mode b'shtar shekasvo shetzarich l'kaimo kamifli. Well, that's a mouthful. What's going on over here? So we know that a shtar, a contract that has, let's say, Shlomo owes Reuven $100. Two edim sign on the bottom. So midaraisa, that's good. That shtar is, it testifies for itself, almost, right? Kiviyachol, it speaks for itself almost, and if you bring that to Beis Din, that's legit, and it can be collected. The Rabbanan and the Gemaras and Gittin and elsewhere talk about how you have to be mekayim a shtar, that you have to validate a shtar's existence, and there are a bunch of ways of doing that. Either you have like a testimony of the Edom that signed it, or a similar contract that the Edom signed to prove that these are legitimate signatures. One of the ways you can prove that the shtar is legit is by having the Lova admit, right, the guy who borrowed the money, admit that the shtar is real. Well, it seems no better way to prove that a shtar is real. So if the Lova, if the borrower admits the shtar is real, that's Mode Vishtar Shekosvo. So the question is, tzarech l'kaimo, if you still need to be mekayim it or not. And the question really is here, as we're going to see in a minute, I'll just kind of spoil it for you, is that what the lova, what the borrower is going to say, is that yes, it's a real shtar, but I paid it back already. And the question here is, if you look at the last Rashi on the daf, is do we say apesha aser hu apesha hitir? That's a phrase that literally means the mouth that asered, the mouth that said it was something was aser, is also the mouth that said that something was mutter. And since the, again, these are already sugyas in Nezikin, but basically the concept is that the claim that the borrower is making, yes, it's a real shtar, but I paid it back already, is worse than the claim of, I don't know what you're talking about. Right? It's not a real shtar, I've never seen that before in my life. So since the guy said, yeah, it's a real shtar, hapesha asar, right? He admitted, he asered himself, kilu, he was mechayiv himself by saying it's a real shtar, we're going to also believe him because afterwards, hapesha hitir, that's the question. Do we also believe him to allow him to have a kula, to have something that's mutter? Right? That's aser mutter is not such a good language over here. But basically, since the guy admitted the shtar was real, are we going to now believe him as well to say that he paid it back? Okay, fine. That's hopefully enough of background. So basically, the machlokes is like this. It says back in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda moda b'shtar shekasu ein tzarich l'kayimo. Tanakama, second to last line. So the first Tanakama holds modi b'shtar shekasvo shetzarich l'kaimo, that a shtar that was written needs to be mekayim, meaning the malve still needs to prove that the shtar is unpaid. Meaning we're going to believe the borrower to say, yeah, it's a real shtar, and I paid it back already. So therefore, it is tzarech l'kaimo. You need to set it up. You need to actually prove that it's legit, that it's still unpaid. And therefore, when he takes it out on Shabbos, he's putter, because it's not worth anything. Rabbi Yehuda savar moda b'shtar shekasro ein tzarech l'kaimo. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that moda b'shtar shekasro, if he admits that the shtar is real, the malva does not need to prove that it is legit, and the guy still owes him the money, meaning we don't believe the borrower, and therefore the piece of paper is valuable, and you're going to be chayiv for taking it out on Shabbos. So where it says, though, so how does the light work with the language of the Tanakhama, the Rabbi Yehuda? My ad shalo pro, misha pro, right? Again, the language of the Tanakhama was, ad shalo pro, if it has been unpaid, then he's chayiv. Misha pro, if he's paid it already, then he's potter. So what's that kind of language? So the Gemara says, ad she yomar lova parati velo parati. Until the lova says, I paid or I didn't pay, meaning we're going to believe the lova either way. So if the lova says that he paid it, so then it's going to be potter because the shtar is now worthless. Okay, that's a possibility number two. Possibility number three, Rava Amar, the Kuli Amar Moda B'Shtar Shekasu Shetzarech L'Kaimo. No, everybody really agrees that if the lova, the borrower, says that it's a real shtar, but I paid it already, we believe him, and therefore the malva has to be Mekayim, the shtar. He has to prove that it's still unpaid. The Hachab, and what's the Machlokes there? Therefore, what is the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakhama? Because when Shovar Kamifagi. Question is, if you're going to write a receipt, the case there is not, you know, like a receipt you get in the store or a receipt you get in the loan. Normally, for the lender to collect a debt in court, he has to bring the shtar. Let's say he doesn't have the shtar. Let's say that he doesn't have the shtar, and the lova agrees that he can he will pay back the loan. Do we write a shuvar? Do we write a receipt that the loan has been paid? And therefore, it's the responsibility now shifts to the borrower to keep the receipt and make sure that he can prove, because you know, without the receipt, right, the lender can get money back from him, or not, or do we not do that? So this is the machlokas that Tanakhama Sovar Kosrin Shovar. The Tanakhama holds you can write a shuvar, you can write a receipt. When the lova pays the loan. The lender now has no longer has any need for the shtar, right? Because the burden of proof is now shifted to the borrower. He has the receipt. The original shtar is now worthless. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar Ein Kosrin Shovar. Rabbi Yehuda says we don't write a receipt. Therefore, the malva needs the actual shtar for the loan. So therefore, you're going to be chayav if you take it out on Shabbos. Finally, the fourth answer. Rav Ashi Amar Peneshet Tzarech Laharos Ol Balchov. No, this is what Rav Ashi says, you're being way, way too complicated. The shtar that we're talking about is a shtar not from the malve, which we've been assuming up until now, not from the lender, but from the borrower. Right? What happens normally, classic standard procedure was that guy borrows money, writes up a shtar, the shtar stays in the lender's possession until the loan has been paid back. When the loan is then paid back, the shtar is now given to the borrower because the lender has no need for it anymore. Right? And the borrower keeps the shtar. Either he rips it up or whatever. Obviously, if the borrower has the shtar, so then the lender can't collect anymore. Right? That was normal procedure. They didn't necessarily write a receipt. That was normal procedure to give the shtar from the lender to the borrower. So the case here is where the borrower has, the lova has the shtar. The question is that now valuable for him? If he takes that shtar out on Shabbos, is he going to be chayv or not? And so again, a similar machloka, we're explaining this machloka similarly how we've seen, to a topic we've seen earlier. Maybe a lender, right, we have by the tax collector, yeah, maybe someone will want to show a tax receipt to the second tax collector, etc. So maybe this guy who borrowed the loan, borrowed the money and then paid it back, maybe this shtar is valuable because he can show it to another lender and be like, hey, look, check it out, I borrowed money before and I paid it back. I'm good for the money that you're going to lend me. Now, I'm someone who can pay back. Many of that will be valuable for him. And then, therefore, if it's valuable for him to show someone else, you're going to be chayiv. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The Tanakam is going to hold that no, it's not valuable at all. It's not going to prove anything. And therefore, you're going to be butter. Okay. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that we had a bunch of shitas in terms of stuff that you can take out on Shabbos. So one of the things we said was or kadei lasos. It was a kamea. So the Gemara says bar minei rav mirav nachman hamotzi or bekama. How much of or, again, or here is animal hide, not skin, right, from a human or whatever. Animal skins, animal hides. Is going to make you chayev amar lo, can it sound like another mishnah? I can eat lasos kamea, enough to make it kamea. That's our mission. Hamavdo bakama. Well, you'll see it's in brackets because the next question is kind of the same thing. Hamavdo bakama, and not if you're going to tan it. If you actually not taking out here, but if you actually tan skin, the verb tan, or if you're going to tan it. If you're going to tan animal hides, not tanning your own skin, sorry. If you're going to tan animal hides, what's the shear? So, amar le lo shana. La abdo, to tan it, bakama, how much? Amar le lo shana. Meaning the shear for tanning and for otsa, for animal hides, is exactly the same, enough to be able to make a kamea. That's the Gemara says, minot tamra. Well, how do you know? Rashi says, what's exactly the question here? The question is, how do you know that the ore that has already been processed is the same shear as the ore that is still needs to be tanned? Okay, so the Gemara says, because it's not like within the Mishnah, hamalabein v'amenapets v'atzovea v'atove. It's talking about not ore, but wool, but semer. Someone who washes it, and someone who combs it, brushes it, someone who tzoveh, someone who dyes it, someone who tove it, someone who spins it. Shiro kamadaruchav hasit kaful. The amount of you're going to be hired for is the amount between your two fingers, the pointer finger and the middle finger. Va'orik shnei chitin. Shnei chutin, and someone who weaves two threads. Shiro kamadaruchav hasit also is well, I guess that's no. Sorry, the first one is double, and the second one is that shear. But the sit is between the pointer finger and the middle finger. Meaning that's not obviously not when they're pushed together, but when they're apart. Apparently, what do you see? Kevin de litvikoi. Since the wool is going to be spun, shiure katavoi is just as if you spun it. So Achaname, so to hear, Kevin Deladokai, since the skin is good, the hides are going to be tanned, Shira Kamu, but it's the same as if it was already tanned. Okay. So Rava asked him, Vishalola Abdo Bakama. And let's say you're not going to tan the hides, but you're just taking it out. How much is that? Amalei lo shna. So he said, same shear. Same shear enough to make an amulet. So Rosen, wait, hold on a second. Lo shani be ma'ubad, the shayna ma'ubad. There's no difference between tan hide and non-tan hide. Asked asking a question, Amotzi Saman and Sharuya, and if you take out Samanim were dyes, herbs or grasses to make different plants to make dyes. Shiruyin means they're soaking already. That was the process, right? You take dyes, put them in hot water, and you get the color. So kedei letzbol behem dugma le'ira. And the shear to be chayiv is if you do otzah with enough of these samanim to dye a sample. If you're selling dyed cloth, you want to have a small sample on the window, etc., etc. Fine. But in terms of this samanim that have not been soaked yet, so klipi agozim klipi rimonim stis upua kedei letzbor behem beged katan lefi svacha. It's enough, the shear is enough to dye a small cloth on a svava. Svava, we said, was that we had the whole discussion of what it was, but it was a woman's hat. So, maybe we didn't have a discussion by that. But either way, the svacha is a hat, so enough to make some cloth for a hat that is bigger than an example, meaning the sample that we said before. This Gemara says, "Ha'itmar Allah." You're right. We talked about this, but when we said, "Amar Nachman Amar Rabbi Baravua," the Visha Ina Adam Torah Lishra Samanim Litzbo Bev Dugma Leira. You're right, because people don't usually just dye enough Samanim to make a sample. So therefore, if it's not processed, if it's still unsoaked, that's not enough. It's not a big of a shear. But if a person will go to the trouble and tan a hide to make an amulet, and therefore that small shear is the one that is across the board, because people will actually do that. And you're going to see that that's the answer for all of these questions that we're about to bring up, that people usually won't go to the trouble of doing whatever malacha it is for the smaller shear, therefore the shear has to be higher. But by tanning, right, people would go to the trouble, apparently, of tanning enough animal hide to make it come out. So Gemara says another kasha. Vareze orne gina, seeds for a garden. The mekavei dizra'inu tnan, before they were planted, so what the Mishnah says, orne gina pakos mikrogaris. The shear is less than a mikrogaris, less than a dried fig. Rav Yehuda ben Maaser omer chamisha, and that's five seeds. But if they've been planted already, so Tanah, without the Mishnah. Zevel v'chol hadak. If you have zevel, which is manure, or chol hadak is sand, it's a very thin sand. Kedei lezevel olekalech shel kruv, enough to fertilize a single stalk of cabbage. The Rebbe Akiva, the Chachamim say, "Kedei lezevel kresha," enough to fertilize a different vegetable, which I forgot. Okay, but either way, Lamaisa, you see that one stalk is shayach, right? Even though a single stalk can be fertilized, you're not chayiv for taking it out until you have five. So, meaning, we see that the shirim are different by whether it's planted or not. So why do we assume that the shear is the same across the board for tan or untanned hides? So Gemara says, "Ha'id my laws." Explain about this. Avraham Papa Hazria Hagalozria. Again, the fact that there's a difference between if it's planted or not planted. Person is not going to go take out a single seed for planting. So therefore, if it's about to be planted, you need a bigger amount because otherwise, less than that is not significant. Okay. Third question. Varei tit. What about clay? We learned in a brisa that before it's kneaded, K-N-E-A-D, so modin chamim l'Rabbi Shimon b'motzi shovchin l'rishus arabim, right, is our Mishnah, sheshirin b'revius, that the amount of shovchin, or I guess it's the last Mishnah, either way, the amount of shovchin, wastewater, that you need to be take out of Shabbos to be chayav is a revius, so Avinu Bar, we explain shovchin l'maychazu. What's the point of taking out wastewater? What do you use it for? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu l'gavlo b'hamasatit, to knead clay. Filu bustu d'gavlo tanya, but after the clay has already been kneaded, tit kedei lasos be'kipikor. the amount that you're chayev for is much less. It's enough to make this kind of mouth of a utensil that the smiths used, right? It's a much smaller shear. So the Gemara says, "Asam nami kedarmin," and so too the same thing. Refinish ein adam torech legavlas atidlas of the core. That person is not going to go to the trouble to knead kned clay just to make this to help on the mouth of this small kli. So therefore, if it's not yet been kneaded, the shear is bigger. But if it's already been kneaded, so the shear is smaller. Okay. Finally, another question. Tashma within the braisa. Amar v'chia bar ami, or I guess we learn this proof. Amar v'chia bar ami mishmei de'ula shlosha oros hein. There are three types of hides: matzah, chippa, and diftera. So what are those? So matzah k'mashma. Matzah is like it sounds. Dolo maliach, dolo kamiach, dolo ofitz. Apparently, there were three steps in treating and kind of tanning or taking care of these hides. You would put salt it. That's maliach, kamiach, you would put kemach, you would do something, I guess, put it in flour, flow offits, and you would use the, they translate that as gall nuts, some sort of gall nut extract that you would rub on it. Okay, so matzah is with none of those. And kamashur, oh, how much is that? What is the shear for that? So tani Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, kedei latzur bo mashkolas katana, enough to wrap a small weight. Mashkolas, anybody lifting weights these days in quarantine? Yeah, so that's what I thought. Enough to wrap a small weight. How much is a small weight? Kama, how much is that? I'm Rabbi. River the river in Pumbadisa. A fourth of the shiurim they would use in Pumbadisa. Okay. Chippa de Maliach. Chippa is if they did one step, i.e. the salting. V'lo kamiach v'lo afritz. But they didn't do the steps two and three. Kama shiuro, what's that shiur to be chayav for? So the Gemara says, "Kedetan," like we learned in the Mishnah, or if you do hotzah with or, they lasos come out. So do a come out. So apparently, if you have one stage, the chayev you're chayev for a come out. No stages, you're chayev for something smaller than that. Diftra, the third case, the malich v'kameach v'lo offits. You have two out of three. The two out of the three processes. The kamashiro, and what's the shear? Kedei lichtov v'lov es haget, enough to write. A get, Rashi says, not all of the get, but the most part of the get. Gufo shall get, areyat, muteras, lekolodim, etc., etc. So here's the kasha. Katani mias, however, we mentioned, kedei latzur bo mishkol katana. We said that the smallest shear is to wrap a weight inside of it. But I'm going to buy a rivet, a rivet, a padisa. That's this one fourth of a measurement. That's a bigger shear than it is to make. The bigger shear than it is to make come out. So you see that the shearim for tanned or untanned or treated hides are not the same. So Kamar says, you're right, Haslam bibishula, over there, when you talk about that shear, the matzah shear, the bigger shear, that's when it's still bishula, when it's still wet, when it's still cooked. Meaning Rashi says it's still lach, and it's just been taken off the animal, so the shear is going to be bigger. But if it's already been dried out, so then the shear is going to be smaller, and it can be the exact same shear as skins and hides that's already been tanned. But it's not within the Mishnah. One second. And finally, one more shear question. How big is shlosha shlosha the midrash? Where we mentioned, what's the shear to be mekabel tumah for different items? So for cloth, it's 3 on 3. For tumah, will be mekabel tumas midras. Hasak, arba arba. Sackcloth is made of goat's hair, is 4 by 4. Or this is our topic, right? Chamish al chamisha. For hide, it's 5 on 5 talking. Mapatz shisha al shisha. Mapatz was some sort of mat, made out of, I think, I forget. Okay, some sort of mat. Bein l'midras, bein l'meis. Regardless, whether it's tumas midras, tumas meis, v'tanya la, we explained about this. Habegad v'asak v'ha'or, k'shir l'tumah, k'shir l'otzah. And for all of these things, the shear for tumah is the same as the shear for otzah. So we see the shear for hides over here is chamisha al chamisha. That's bigger than taking out, than a shear for to make it come out. So Gemara says, ahu b'korto bella. That's talking about something that is, right, Rashi says Mevashla Barotcha with Kasha, that you've taken the hides and you've boiled it in hot water and it's become hot, become harder, leishavale lechasos, to sit on it, meaning for furniture. You're going to put it on the couch or whatever it is. So you've already boiled that, made it much harder. So then already you need a bigger shear. But regular leather is, you know, regular hides is going to be the same shear. Okay. Oh, all right. Amud Beis. Klaf kedei lichtov v'lov parsha ketana. So we said the shear to take out a klaf is enough to write a small parsha. So now, just to the terminology over here, there are three. Well, there are going to be a couple things that we're going to mention, but there are three types of klaf that we're going to mention. Gvil is the animal hides, a full and compact animal hide. And you'll see what that means in a second. Klaf is the outer half. If you split the animal hide in two. So there's a side that was closer to the meat, and there's a side that's closer to the hair. Klaf is the outer half, let's say, if you cut it down the middle, meaning the side of the skins that was closer to the hair. And something called duchsustus is the side that is closer to the flesh, to the meat. Okay, and gvil is both of them together. Okay, so let's just keep that in mind as we read right there. So klaf, the amount of klaf, if you take out parchment on Shabbos, so enough to write a small parsha. So Gemara says, Raminu, one second. Right, we said that's Shema Yisrael. So Raminu will ask you a question. Klaf u duchsustus, if you have klaf or duchsustus. Again, that's either side of the animal hides. So k'dei l'chtov alav mezuzah, the amount of the shear that you're going to be chayef for is enough to write a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, that seems to contradict what we just said, Shema Yisrael. The mezuzah has more than Shema Yisrael. Right? The Gemara says, my mezuzah. It's a mezuzah shebe tefillin. It's talking about a mezuzah in the tefillin. Hey, what mezuzah is in the tefillin? The only part that's in the mezuzah that's in the tefillin is Shema Yisrael. Is that true? I'm trying to remember now. I'm blanking. That's silly. No, meaning tefillin and mezuzah both have Shema and Vayeh and Shemoa, but if you say that the shear is to write a mezuzah, so that's both. Right? The shear to write the smallest parsha in the tefillin, right? Because since the tefillin Shal Rosh has four separate parts, right? So Shema and Vayeh and Shemoa are separate. So if you're telling me that mezuzah means mezuzah shebet tefillin, meaning the smallest part in the tefillin, that's only Shema Yisrael and Ve'ahavta, without Vahayim Shemoa, so therefore the shear is smaller. Okay, so V'karilu, the tefillin mezuzah, but would one second, if you're telling me that the Mishnah said that the shear was mezuzah, so what do you mean the mezuzah in the tefillin? So would you really call a piece of the tefillin a mezuzah? So the Gemara says, they would. V'atanik is willing to rebraisa, v'tzuos tefillin and v'tefillin, if the straps of the tefillin are with the tefillin, so then matame es hayadayim, they are matame the hands. If you remember, we said before that there was a gzera that all cloth should be matame yadayim in terms of truma, because they used to keep truma in the Aron Kodesh, and the rats were getting to the truma, and then for getting to the Sifrei Torah. So basically there were gozer that cloth is matame yadayim, so therefore when the straps of the tefillin are attached to the tefillin, they're matame yadayim. For truma, but b'fnei atzmon, if the straps are by themselves, ain't matam esei adayim, they're not matam esei adayim. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, hanogei b'ritzua tahor, if you attach the ritzua, your tahor, ad sheyegia b'ktzitza, until you get to the boxes. Rabbi Zakkai mishmo, Rabbi Zakkai says Rabbi Shimon's name, tahor ad sheyegia b'mezuzah atzma, your tahor until you actually touch the mezuzah, i.e. the cloth. So you see that we would refer to a tefillin as a mezuzah. The Gemara says, "I mehal mit katani sefer." The second part of that brisa, it says, "Klaf kedei lichto v'lav parsha katana shebet tefillin." Right? Klaf. What's the shear for klaf? To write, take out the smallest enough to write the smallest parsha in the tefillin. So shehi shma Yisrael, i.e. shma Yisrael plus ve'ahavta. So Gemara says, "Michal the reisha be mezuzah atzmaskin." And apparently, the reisha is talking about an actual mezuzah. So Gemara says, "No, hachi katani." This is what it means to say, klaf v'duchsustus shiurin bekama. What's the shear for those two items? Duchsustus is kedei lichtov ala mezuzah, is enough to write mezuzah. You're going to see that duchsustus, this the part of the animal hides that's closer to the flesh, is not good for tefillin, but it is good for mezuzah. So therefore, it's enough to write a mezuzah. Klaf, what about a klaf, which you can write for tefillin? So kedei lichtov ala parsha ketan shebe tefillin shehi shema Yisrael. Okay, so that's what it means. So Rav, Rav says Vayter now. Duchsustus hayuki klaf. He says, one second. Duchsustus is just like klaf. What does that mean? Ma klaf kosvin alav tefillin, just like you can write tefillin on klaf. So af duchsustus kosvin alav tefillin. I know I just said that that's not true. You'll see at the end of the Gemara that they take this back. But currently we're understanding that when Rav says that duchsustus is like klaf, the Gemara says that tefillin can be written just like tefillin can be written on klaf. Tefillin can also be written on duchsustus. Tonight, hold on, I'll bring a kasha from the Mishnah. Klaf kedei lichtov parsha ketan shebe tefillin shishma Yisrael. Right? What's the shear for klaf to write the Shema Yisrael plus v'ahavta? So one second, that implies that duchsustus needs a different shear. It seems seemingly that it's not able to be used for tefillin. So Gemara says lo mitzvah. You're really duchsustus is bidyeved. Klaf is the chachila, but duchsustus would work according to that answer. Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. Alach l'moshim yisinai. There's alach l'moshim yisinai. That tefillin ala klaf umzus alach duchsustus. That tefillin is good with klaf. It can only be written on klaf. Mezuzah can be written on duchsustus. Klaf b'makom abasar. If you write, when you're using klaf, you should write on the side that would be closer to the flesh of the animal, to the basar. Again, if you remember, the klaf is the outer part of the hide, and the duchsustus is the inner part of the hide. So when you're writing on the inner part of the klaf, that's actually the side that would face the duchsustus. Yeah? So therefore, and duchsustus, the Gemara says, b'makom seir. Then when you're writing on duchsustus, you write the part that's closer to the hair, which is really actually closer to the klaf. Okay? So apparently you see that klaf is written, used for tefillin and not duchsustus. So Gemara says again, la mitzvah, that's just lechachila, but b'diavad you could use duchsustus. But Tanya, I'll bring you another kasha, shina pasul, that if you change from any of these, this procedure, i.e. switched any of the materials or whatever, so then it's no good. So Gemara says, I'm mezuzah. That's all I'm talking about, mezuzah. I, Vatani, did with another bright, Shina bezeb bezeb puzzle, that you're, it's, if you change by either one of them, it's puzzle. So Gemara says, idi v'idi am mezuzah. Actually, both of those breasts are going to am mezuzah. Vad, kasvino, aklaf, makom seir. Inami, a duchsustos, makom basar. What does it mean? That you wrote on the wrong side of each of the possible types of cloth for a mezuzah. Or another answer. Actually, depending on if whether you deviated from either of these procedures, is shaykh to both tefillin and mezuzah, but that's actually machlokas tanaim. The tanya, like we learned in the braisa, shina bazeb is a puzzle. If you messed up any of these procedures, it's puzzle. Rav Acha makshir, mishum Rabbi Achai bar Chanina. But Rav Acha was makshir, Rabbi Lav mishum Rabbi Yaakov bar Chanina. Okay, and some people say it was in the name of Rabbi Yaakov bar Rabbi Chanina. Another answer of Papa Amar, Rav, Damar Katana de Bei Menashe. Actually, Rav holds like a Tana in the base medrash of Menashe, the Tana de Bei Menashe, Kosva Alanir, Valamatlas Psula. If you wrote it on paper, or on matlas is cloth, then that's no good. If you wrote it on any type of parchment, whether it's the cloth, the outer part, the duxustos, the inner part, or the gvil, which is both together, it is fine. So Gemara says, "Kasvamai." What are we writing? Right? In Rav Papa said, "Tana Bei Menashe, kasva alanir." If you wrote it, well, what is it? So Elaim mezuzah. If you tell me it's mezuzah, mezuzah cloth mikasas minon. Do you write a mezuzah on cloth? Right? The Gemara assumes we don't. So the El Lav must be tefillin. So the Gemara says, one second, v'letameich, tefillin a gvil mikosvinon. We don't write tefillin on gvil, we write tefillin on cloth. So you can't be talking about tefillin. It's El Kitanya, he be sefer Torah. That's talking about a sefer Torah. So, excuse me. So therefore, that's no proof at all to, or contradictory to Rav's Shita. Okay. Maybe we have a brisa that proves Rav Shita. Because the Mishnah says, just like what we've been saying, what have we been saying until now? So that is, where is that brisa? The brisa is in Merachos, right? Not surprisingly, where we have a lot of the tefillin and sugyas. There is discussing whether you can change the shalrosh into the shalyad or shalyad into the shalrosh. So the halacha is, the Gemara says that you're allowed to change the shalyad into the shalrosh, but you can't change the shalrosh into the shalyad because the shalrosh have greater kedusha. And right, Malam Bakodesh Balam will read them. So similarly, tefillin shabala, if you have tefillin that wore out, the Sefer Torah shabala, or a Sefer Torah that wore out, ain't osam b'dehem mezuzah. You can't make them into a mezuzah by, you know, cutting and slicing and dicing, whatever you got to do. The ain't morid the kedusha chamura the kedusha kala, because Sefer Torah and tefillin are more kadosh than a mezuzah. The Gemara says, and what's the proof? What's the support for Rava? Time of day moridin. The reason is because you can't malam b'kadosh from moridin. Hamoridin, but if you could go down in kedusha, osam. Right, and you could actually make a mezuzah out of tefillin or sefer Torah. The Gemara says the ksiva amai, but hold on, what was this stuff written on? La the ksiva dechsustos. It must have been written on the dechsustos. Apparently, because for it to be written by mezuzah, right, so apparently the tefillin can be written on the dechsustos. The Gemara says, well, that's not a good proof. The ksiva klaf is actually written on klaf. Well, mezuzah klaf mitasvinan. Right, hold on. We've been assuming the whole time you can't write a mezuzah on cloth. Can you really write a mezuzah on cloth? So Gemara says, "In yes, you can." Fatanya, because we learned the brisa, kasva ala cloth, ala nir, ala matlis. If you wrote it on cloth, nir, or matlis, again, cloth or paper or cloth, it's psula. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Meir, haya kosva ala cloth. That Rabbi Meir actually would write it on cloth with Pneishim Mishnameres because it stays longer. Right, it's apparently cloth was stronger than dechsustos. So Rabbi Meir would write a mezuzah on dechsustos. And hashadas the hachi, now that you came to this understanding, so the Rav nami lo tema dechsustos harayek cloth. So according to Rav, now you can flip the comparison. Don't say that dechsustos is like cloth, and you can use both for tefillin. Ela ima cloth hu dechsustos. That cloth is like dechsustos, meaning that ma dechsustos kosven olav mezuzah, af cloth kosven olav mezuzah. Just like you can use dechsustos for a mezuzah, so too you can also use cloth for a mezuzah, and that's how the Gemara ends. Okay, shkoyach gadol rabosai. We will go weiter in the Hilchos Shas tomorrow.